Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Right now, we are giving away one large specialty pizza to Marco's Pizza in Aurora. Two great locations. One is off of Smoky Hill Road. The other one is off of Quincy. I was at the Smoky Hill Road location yesterday. And our friend Debbie, who comes on the show every once in a while, she was telling us about that pepperoni melt. So I'm like, you know what? I got to get that. I love, of the specialty pizzas, there are a lot of great ones. I love the barbecue chicken pizza. That's fantastic. Then I tried the white pizza with a lot of bacon. I'm like, that's really good. But I'm like, the way she described it with all that extra cheese and pepperoni, and then I add a little onion to it, I'm like, I got to have this for sure. So I got it, and I love the crust. That thing was awesome. It was like this big thing of fresh cheese with fresh sauce, and the crust is awesome. That's what I got yesterday, and that's one of the specialty pizzas you can get right now. Give us a call, 303-831-1340, 303-831-1340. You are going to Marco's Pizza in Aurora on us. One large specialty pizza. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Okay, Mace, I think all of us in the media have been critical of John Elway over the last 5 years, starting with the team hasn't made the playoffs. He's had a difficult time finding the right quarterback over the last, I don't know, five seasons. They've had 10 different starting quarterbacks since Peyton Manning retired. Sound about right to you? Never really able to draft any substantive quality on the offensive line. We'll see what happens with Reisner. Finally, Garrett Bowles had a good year, but before that, it was a bunch of busts.
Orlando Franklin was the best guy drafted
long time
before
ago.
Garrett Bowles.
Point is, he's had a lot of problems in the draft and free agency talking about John Elway. But now that I'm listening to the possibility and having conversations like you are about Aaron Rodgers potentially coming here, one of the things I keep hearing is Rodgers loves the young skill players, which I think Broncos fans do too. Judy Young, Sutton Young, Hamler Young, Fant Young. Elway went heavy on young players on offense. He did draft Justin Simmons. He did inherit. He drafted Von Miller, drafted Bradley Chubb, brought in Shelby Harris, drafted Draymond Jones. There are a lot of really good pieces on this team. And the Broncos cap situation, and George Payton has talked about this, they have the second most cap room of anybody in football. And Elway left that gift for George Payton. So with all of that said, were we being a little hard on Elway?
Yeah, we are, even though the quarterback things...
Were we being hard on him? Was it justified?
I think it was, given what we knew at the time, because Garrett Bowles, 2.5 years in, looked like a bust. Quarterback had not been solved. They'd put together some pieces, but at the same time, you had kind of big misses that were defining the Broncos. But now we're a little further on. And so the misses of 2015, 2016, aside from Justin Simmons, even 2017, they're farther in the rearview mirror now. And clearly, I think what we can take is this: the philosophical change in how they attacked the draft and how they looked into prospects in 2018, that clearly it's worked, because their success rate has become much higher since 2018 than it was prior to that. So to their credit, they learned from their mistakes.
Let's play a game. It's called, Would John Have Done This? Would John Have Done This? And we're going to talk about every offseason free agent move and offseason signing. Justin Simmons, highest paid safety in football. Would John have done this?
I don't know that he would have.
Couldn't agree more. Shelby Harris, big contract. Would John have done this?
Don't think so.
Fuller, Kyle Fuller, right?
Yes.
Would John have brought him in?
Yes, he would have. Because one thing that we saw, especially early on with John Elway, is he liked bringing in guys who were cut because they didn't count against the compensatory formula. Because remember, for example, DeMarcus Ware was a cut by the Cowboys.
Yep.
And that was part of the allure. Hey, he's available. It doesn't cost us in the comp formula. Let's go get him.
Okay. Who else in the free agent world should we discuss? Would John have done this?
Ronald Darby.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he would have.
Yeah, I agree. Anybody else? Anything else?
For this year?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you've pretty much covered all the biggies.
Okay. Draft. Does Elway draft Surtain?
Yes.
Think so?
I think so.
Over Fields?
Yeah.
Sure about that? I'm not saying this like I have inside knowledge. Are you sure about that?
I think that.
You think he's rolling with Locke? You think Bridgewater's on this team?
I think there's another quarterback in there.
Not Bridgewater.
I think it's Darnold.
I think it's Darnold, too.
And thus, they wouldn't have drafted a quarterback. They would have rolled with Darnold and Locke.
Yep. I agree.
So, I think it still would have been Surtain. Because Elway, I think, is justifiably confident in his ability to draft defense. And
he is? Why?
Well, think about the picks that he's had over the years on the defensive side. Generally, the success rate was higher
generally,
than on the offensive side.
Generally, you can... Okay, I'm gonna throw a number out here.
Okay.
Okay. And it's probably not a fair number because you'd really have to do some research. And you know what? Maybe you can turn this into an article for DNVR because you love digging deep. You love digging deep.
And you say that kind of mocking.
No, you do. You do. You love digging deep on stats. Okay.
It's my brand.
Over the last 15 years, okay? Over the last 15 years, I want to know how many defensive players taken in the top five you could actually call a bust. And I bet the number is less than 10%.
I'll bet you it's higher than that.
No. Bust. Bust. I didn't say all pro. How about this? The guy is a productive player. The guy's a productive player. As you're looking this up, pick the year that you're looking at.
I mean, because the name that popped in my mind immediately was Aaron Curry. I was thinking back to the 2009 draft, for example. He said the last 15 years.
You're always going to find some.
Well, yeah, you're always going to find some. You're always going to find some. But the defensive players who went in the top 10 that year.
Top five. I said top five because that's Chubb and that's Von Miller.
And you had Tyson Jackson, Aaron Curry. You're basically swinging and a miss.
Okay.
And I would say, do I think the bust rate is very high? No, but I think it's higher than 10%.
You think it's higher than 10%?
I think it's higher in terms of outright busts. In the top.
When Curry.
But here's another thing. You mentioned would John Elway have picked Pat Surtain? One of the reasons why I think he would have picked Surtain.
He would have if he brought in Darnold. Yes, I'm with you there.
One of the reasons why I think he would have brought in Darnold. And so that's why I think Surtain would have been the pick. But John Elway, if he's got a top 10 pick, he wants to use it on a premium position. Like, for example, Quentin Nelson is sitting there right at number six, 3 years ago.
Yep.
Quentin Nelson is on a Hall of Fame trajectory. I don't think it's too bold to say that through 3 years. But part of the reason why you might blanch at taking Nelson so high is that even if you've got a great guard, does he move the needle on your overall outcome? Whereas quarterbacks, edge rushers, tackles, cornerbacks, the four premium positions in today's NFL generally do. And that's why I think
let's go through, I think
at nine, Surtain being on the board, he still would have taken Surtain.
Let's go through this briefly. Because we know in 2011, that was a remarkable draft.
Oh, all-timer.
All-timer. So this is what we're going to do. We're just going to go the last 10 years, okay? And then we're just going to come up with our own little percentage. I understand this is live radio. I get it.
But you said 15. That's why it didn't.
Okay, I'm just going to go last 10 because we don't have a ton of time, okay? So here we go. You got to keep this in your head. These are guys who were defensive players taken in the top five. Ndamukong Suh, Gerald McCoy, Eric Berry, all hits, right?
Three for three.
That's three for three. We're going to go to the next year, 2011. Von Miller, Marcel Darius, and that's it. Marcel Darius is a very good player.
He was an all-pro once, wasn't he?
There we go. So now that's five for five, right? The 2012 NFL draft. We have Khalil Mack, six for six?
Yes.
Okay. 2013 is one of the worst drafts ever on any level. So we had Deion Jordan.
Bust.
Okay. And Ezekiel Ansah.
Solid.
There we go.
We're not calling him a bust.
Oh, okay. So that's seven for eight. So we're going to do percentages here. So we're just going the last 10 years. Jadeveon Clowney. In 2014, Jadeveon Clowney and Khalil Mack.
I wouldn't say Clowney's a bust, but he hasn't really lived up to being the number one overall as an edge rusher. You got to be a Hall of Famer basically to justify it. He hasn't been.
He's had a lot of injuries, but he hasn't been. He hasn't been Jamarcus Russell. I'm talking busts.
Yeah.
Or guys who are better than average. You take them on your team. So that's 9 for 10 so far. Okay. Then we're going to go to 2015. This is going to be tough as we get closer. Dante Fowler?
Not a bust.
Okay. That's 11, 10 for 11. My point is that usually your busts are going to be your quarterbacks. Okay, just for fun. Now let's go 2016, going right in order. Joey Bosa, Jalen Ramsey, top five picks.
Not bust.
Right, 12 for 13. Miles Garrett, Solomon Thomas.
Solomon Thomas is a bust.
Okay, so that's 13 for 15. My point is, and I'm not going to go any further, you'd be pretty hard-pressed to have a bust in the top five picks for a defensive player because teams are so quarterback desperate.
They are, but at the same time, that's 2 for 15, and so that's still above 10%.
Either.
I'm not saying it was a high percentage, but I'm saying it was above 10%. And if we go back, and actually, if we go back to 2015, you're looking at 30. And by my evaluation and calculations, you're looking at 5 out of 30 being busts. So basically, you're at about a 17% chance of busting out and 83% chance of finding someone who's at least a solid player.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't think you were really going to miss on Chubb or Vaughn.
Well, no, but also with John Elway on defense, you're also thinking Dan Trevathan. You're in the late rounds. You're thinking Malik Jackson
hold on,
in the late rounds.
Hold on. You know more about the ins and outs of football than I do, especially when it comes to the draft. But I've been told by more than a few people, do you really think that John Elway poured over tape of Danny Trevathan and Malik Jackson? Hold on, because the answer is no.
But he trusted his scouts and the scouts.
Okay.
Sometimes GMs that get a little too hands-on don't trust their scouts. One of the things that was actually a hallmark of the Broncos is that John Elway, whose dad did a lot of scouting too, he did defer to his scouts quite a bit.
Right.
It was one of the reasons why scouts like working in the organization.
Generally speaking, GMs earn their money in rounds what through what?
One through three.
And that's where he was at his weakest. But he always seemed to do well in the back part of the draft. So maybe the scout should have been the GM.
Or he just knew who to listen to.
That's fine.
Because sometimes Mike Shanahan got in trouble when he listened to his coaches above the scouts.
Generally speaking, and I joked about this years ago, the Broncos should trade away all their second and third round picks with John Elway. Doesn't hit on any of them.
Except that's turned around. But again, the last few years, Justin Simmons and DeMarcus Walker, but then you start talking about Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
They've had a better success rate the last few years.
They've had a better success rate out of 10 years of him doing the draft. They had a better success rate over the last 2 years, or the last 2 years that he had the draft. I'm with you on that. All right, coming up after the break. We went way off the rails on that, didn't we?
That was okay.
Okay. Well,
the 10% thing was interesting, though.
You have to have a higher enough number. At the end of the day, if you're going to tell me 13 out of 15 defensive players are going to be really good, I'll take that all day.
But you know what's 50% in that range is quarterbacks.
Of course. That's why if you take a defensive player, your average is going to be higher because you're taking the best player probably, one of the best players in the draft. A quarterback, you're taking the best player at a position you desperately need. Coming up after the break, ESPN's Mike Clay did a very interesting article on what would it mean to the Broncos if Aaron Rodgers was on this roster. You're going to want to listen to this, especially if the Broncos get Aaron Rodgers. This is some deep dive stuff. That's next.
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
You off air is, it's fascinating because I'm learning about your Thanksgiving meal process.
Yeah.
Because
meal to cook,
which is amazing because it seems like it's all difficult. It seems very labor intensive.
It's not. It's easy stuff to make. Mashed potatoes are easy to make. You boil the potato. You
have to peel them though.
Okay. You peel potatoes.
There's a labor. I mean, there's a labor intensive aspect to this.
Well, me and Mandy, we knocked out for 10, 12 people. We knocked out Thanksgiving dinner and 2.5 hours. That's nothing. We got up at, I brined the turkey the night before. Stuffing, any moron can make stuffing. Okay? You combine some vegetables and throw in the mix. Not that hard to do.
Do you put the stuffing in the turkey?
No, absolutely not.
See, my wife does that, and I think that's part of where the complication comes in.
No, you don't. First of all, it changes the cook time. And secondly, if the cookie isn't fully cooked,
yes,
you've contaminated the stuffing.
Exactly. That's why you got to be careful with it. That's, you know, my wife kind of does these things on a high level, and I'm, you know,
that's not a high level. That's a trip to the hospital.
Turkey. Although, well, no, but if you get it right, then the stuffing in the turkey gets all the juices and all that, and it's good.
That's what gravy's for. Okay, that's what gravy's for. Anybody can make sweet potatoes. You put them in the oven, then you peel them, and then you throw in some nutmeg, and you throw in some butter.
Don't forget the marshmallows on the top.
If that's where you like it, that's where you like it. Anybody can make mashed potatoes. You peel the potatoes, you boil the potatoes, and then you mix them up with butter and salt and pepper and whatever else. Not hard to make.
All this started, by the way, because as the NFL schedule comes out on Wednesday.
That's what we're talking about.
There is a possibility that the Broncos could play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving in Dallas. And I put it out there on my Twitter feed, the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed. Hey, do you want the Broncos to play on Thanksgiving? Three options. Yes, no matter who the quarterback is. Yes, if the quarterback is Aaron Rodgers, or no. And, you know, yes, if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, is winning. But it's interesting that Broncos fans, a majority of them that are voting right now, would actually rather they not play on Thanksgiving unless Aaron Rodgers is the guy.
As you and I talked about it, and Danny knows this as well, on Thanksgiving, we don't have a show on Thanksgiving. We don't have a show the day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
But if I had a show the day after Thanksgiving, I don't want them to play on Thanksgiving because I have to work. I take notes during the game, just like you do. And I don't want to curb my cocktail hour, to be very honest with you, being very selfish about it. If I want to be five drinks in, I don't want to watch a game five drinks in. Not to mention, if I am putting together dinner, which I am, and then there's all the cleaning that's involved. The cooking is easy. It's the cleaning that sucks. But then I got to watch a game, and then I got to get ready and tell everybody in the house, guys, I need quiet in the house, or I need to go to a room where nobody's there.
Oh, you can't watch the game and take notes with others around?
If people didn't talk, yes.
But that's, I would think that'd be part of the experience of it. And oh, by the way,
that's not a good experience and for me.
What about the fact that you're a couple of cocktails in? You might take some notes there, downright hilarious. You might have You might have some observations that, fueled by alcohol, have astounding clarity. Sometimes that happens.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
Let me ask you. Or you just don't remember what you saw the next day.
Well, that's with why that, you take notes.
Okay. So your daughter, Charlotte, have you ever watched a Broncos game with her?
Okay. Yeah, you got me on this one because I haven't.
Would you? While you're working?
Well, I have to tweet during the game.
Okay. What I asked you was, would you want to watch a game with Charlotte knowing you have to take notes and tweet during the game and knowing 8-year-olds ask a lot of questions?
We watched the Chiefs-Broncos game this past year because DNVR only had the one credential and I was at home.
Correct.
The home game.
Right.
And actually, I was glad that she was around because that game became so awful. As it went on.
Oh, I see. But what if it was a really good competitive game and you really had to work?
A really good competitive game, it might be a little bit tricky.
There we go. So now picture a house full of people. Picture Charlotte at 8 times 7-8 more people who like to ask a lot of questions because, hey, this is what Eric does. So we can ask Eric tons of questions because he'll be able to answer everything.
This is your way of saying you are virulently opposed. I love to
watch games with family, but not when I have to work tweet and take notes. So
yes.
My day for Thanksgiving would be prepping in the morning, then cooking. Mandy would certainly help out with everything. Then we have to clean everything up. I'm certainly going to be having wine or whatever while we are prepping and while we are having dinner. And then I'm probably going to be more than a little bit buzzed. And then I get the opportunity to sit down in the living room with 10 other people watching the game while I'm trying to tweet and trying to take notes. And I'm probably half drunk. Does it sound like Thanksgiving is a good option for me for the Broncos to play on that day?
I'd kind of like to see these half drunk tweets during a game. I think they'd be awesome.
No. No, you don't tweet.
Danny,
you don't tweet when you're drunk.
Danny, wouldn't you like to see Eric have some half-drunk thoughts during a Bronco game?
Yeah, I think it could be entertaining.
I think
it'd be better if I was stoned. It'd be much funnier.
I think it'd be
because
phenomenal.
When you're stoned, you're not angry. When you're drinking, you get angry. You get really, really angry.
But you're
at somebody
not a
else.
Fan. You wouldn't get angry. You're supposedly watching with kind of a dispassionate eye.
No, it's more about the people say. Oh, are you suggesting that some of your followers don't say ridiculous things and you are so tempted to tweet something back at them? Now, Andrew, because I know you pretty well, throw about 5 Moscow mules into your system and how do you think you're going to be responding?
And this is why I generally don't tweet when I'm drunk anymore.
So you're encouraging, you're encouraging me to do it.
Well,
you're encouraging me to do it.
You can be a little bit more of a loose cannon than I am.
Maybe I can, maybe I can't be, but I don't want any help with liquor inside me. Coming
they don't
up,
call it liquid courage for nothing.
Coming up after the break, we teased it, but instead we talked about Thanksgiving dinner and a possible game for the Broncos on Thanksgiving Day. Mike Clay of ESPN did a real deep dive on what Aaron Rodgers would look like on the Broncos, on how statistically they'd become one of the best teams in the league. This is interesting stuff, and we'll talk about it next. I go on too many days.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Want to tell you about Colorado Off-Road. What a great place to go because, you know, those big box stores? First of all, I'd rather shop local. But Colorado Off-Road, they have all the major accessory brands you would need for your truck, your car, your Jeep, your SUV. When you get something from Colorado Off-Road, they're going to install everything as well. Need something aftermarket? Big box stores aren't going to do that. They will at Colorado Off-Road. Also, Colorado Off-Road. Jerry, the owner, grew up in Littleton, Colorado Off-Road is in Littleton. If you need to upfit today, go to Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Drive in style and luxury in a Lamborghini, Maserati, McLaren, or many other exotic cars at Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Rent for yourself or give a rental as a gift at DenverExoticRentalCars.com.
All right, Mace, we keep teasing this story by Mike Clay on what the Broncos would look like with Aaron Rodgers. I want to get to that tomorrow because there's something that's a little bit more timely. And that's what happened recently at the Kentucky Derby. And then the news today. Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert has been banned from Churchill Downs after the horse that he trained, Medina Spirit, tested positive for a banned substance after winning the Kentucky Derby. And now that horse is at risk of being disqualified. At least 4 to 5 other horses in the last 12 months trained by Baffert have tested positive. And there's a rough estimate that there are over 30 horses that he has trained that have tested positive. Now, Baffert, in full damage control, saying, I don't know what's going on in racing right now, but that something's not right. It just seems odd. Why am I the only trainer with all these positives? World is out to get them. You know who this reminds me of? Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
It really does.
He actually had the audacity today to claim that Medina Spirit getting busted for this and him being on the outs at Churchill Downs.
What did I say? Medina Spirit? I meant Medina Spirit.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
And that Baffert and him and the horse are a victim of, quote, cancel culture, unquote.
Right. Well, he went on Fox News with my friend Bill Hemmer in the morning to talk about this. When you talk about cancel culture, you certainly have a network that will bring you on.
Yeah, even though just because you may say a buzzword that is popular in the moment or two buzzwords there does not mean it has any relevance to what is happening here. There's cancel culture has nothing to do with what's going on here.
Right. Right.
What you have clearly is
maybe you're just cheating, dude.
Yeah, you're
kind of like Lance Armstrong.
If it's happening over and over again. If it
over 30 horses over the course of his career, 5 in the last year.
That's the thing. If you have that, the chances of it being just some kind of coincidence are so some innocent mistake are so infinitesimal they can't be calculated.
Now let's talk about the gambling aspect of it.
Ooh.
Medina Spirit wins. I don't even remember the horse that came in second. Medina Spirit might get disqualified. The second place horse will be named the winner of the Kentucky Derby. But if you bet on Medina Spirit and that horse gets disqualified, you're not giving your money back to FanDuel, DraftKings, Vegas. You're not doing any of that stuff. Okay? You don't have to. And if you have the second place horse to win it, you don't get that money either. The way it works in all states is once it's over, it's over. And that's it. And I'll liken this to other sports. Jay Cornegay, who sets the odds at Westgate Casino, he and I communicated through text today about this. And he brought up a really good point. A really good point. And he compared it to another sport. So I'm going to use your Atlanta Braves as my example. Okay? Pick your favorite player on the Braves. You want to go Freeman? You want to go? Who do you want to go?
Ronald Acuna Jr.
Okay. Ronald Acuna Jr. Let's say you bet on the Dodgers to beat the Braves. And Acuna Jr. goes off. And you bet on the Braves to win. Or you bet on the Dodgers for the sake of argument. Or it doesn't even matter who you bet on. The spread is like 1.5. And the Braves win by 7 runs because Acuna Jr. has a grand slam and a 3-run home run, right?
Yeah.
And if he doesn't do that, that you're going to win your bet because he did do that. You did win your bet. You following me?
Yeah.
Then the next day, Acuna Jr. fails a piss test and gets suspended for 60 days for PEDs. Those home runs still count. Even if the game which they wouldn't do anyway, even if the game became null and void, which it wouldn't.
It wouldn't. And that's the interesting thing about it.
And that's the way sports gambling works.
So even though, like, in baseball, it would not be null and void, but it's like, here's one.
You're not taking away those home runs, even though he tested positive, just like the horse. So Acuna Jr. is like the horse. If the horse tests positive, okay.
Even if they take away the Kentucky Derby trophy from him, even if they like
Let me explain it again. Okay. So that's not the official.
The disqualification, though, has to happen immediately, right? Like back in.
It would have to happen right away.
In 2019, that's what happened. Remember, Maximum Security won the race, got disqualified for obstructing another horse, and went to 17.
That's immediate.
Okay.
That is immediate.
So how would this work? I'm curious about this because remember the 1988 Olympics, Ben Johnson.
Yep.
9.79 seconds, wins the gold medal, and actually is awarded the gold medal. They had the ceremony, everything, and then he gets busted for, you know, the PEDs of the time. So if I had bet on Ben Johnson, I would have won the bet, right?
Absolutely.
Even though a day later, he was disqualified,
well, think about
and
this
gold medal went to Carl Lewis.
Think about this for a second. Back then, Vegas and Atlantic City were the only places to really bet legally.
Right.
Right? You're in Vegas, you're walking up to that window and collecting your money. There's really no record of you, and they're not going to hunt you down for the cash that you want on Ben Johnson. So Vegas has to do it that way because they pay out pretty much immediately. But then they can't be expected to pay twice because people aren't returning the money. So there are at racetracks, this is just the way it works. This is state law in states that have racetracks. This is just the way it works. But the baseball example is the best one. You had an illegal player, Acuna Jr., who, let's say, tested positive for PEDs. He should not have played in that game. He tested positive. You can't take the home runs off the board. Just like the horse tested positive after the race was over. That's it. And by the way, he hasn't lost the Kentucky Derby yet. He has to fail it twice. Second test hasn't come in yet.
I mean, and Medina Spirit is actually on his way to Pimlico.
Right.
And at this moment is scheduled to race Saturday in the Preakness.
Right.
And despite all that.
We'll see what happens. But Bob Baffert, I can't tell you if he's telling the truth or not. Maybe somebody is out to get him. I have no idea. But this reeks a little bit like Lance Armstrong. You know, five times
and Lance
in 12
Armstrong,
months,
and he proclaimed,
over 30 times in his career.
And he proclaimed innocence for a long time before he finally...
He sued people and won for defamation. He won in court, took money from people who were telling the truth. That's how much of a S-bag he is. What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
Anthony Davis had an absolutely huge night last night in a win over the Suns. We'll talk about how dominant he has been on this final stretch towards the playoffs. Also, we're going to take a look at division leaders around the MLB, see if there's any surprises there. That's next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports. You don't ever want to step off that roller coaster and be all alone. And you don't want to ride the bus like this.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us, mileisports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5, HD3. Reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, Anthony Davis with a monster game last night. 42 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 of each, steals and blocks in a win over the Suns. Now, if the Nuggets are to get to a playoff matchup with the Lakers at some point or another, who are you more worried about, Anthony Davis or LeBron James?
Wow. Who am I more worried about, Anthony Davis or LeBron James? I don't like Anthony Davis covering Jokic. That's my concern. And I don't know who's going to be covering. Well, I do know who's going to be covering LeBron James. And that's going to be Gordon. So I think both guys are great. And it's hard to pick just one. I would rather have Davis on the floor than LeBron.
Yeah, and I think the other thing with Davis is that his contributions, because it's going to be a lot at the defensive end again,
yep,
against Jokic, they're going to be subtler and maybe over the long haul of a game. Whereas LeBron, what you worry about is him just dropping,
taking over
15 points in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so, in
different kind of concerns on each.
Just in case you missed it, a couple weeks into the MLB season, division leaders looking around the league in the AL East, the Red Sox, the AL Central, the White Sox, the AL West, the Athletics, NL East, the Mets, NL Central, the Cardinals, and the NL West, the Giants, leading the way. Any surprises there?
The Giants.
I mean, now the Rockies are really in trouble. If they weren't in trouble before with the Dodgers and the Padres, I mean, listen, the Dodgers at 18 and 17, I know they've lost 8 of their last 10. They'll be fine. There will be a market correction on them. And as for the Giants, they do have some talent on that team, and they're trying to overhaul what they used to be. Does that make sense? They're trying to get some young talent in there.
They're in the middle of rebuild,
right,
basically.
That's what I mean.
Now,
so this is encouraging, yeah, for them.
They're coming in ahead of schedule, and the interesting thing with the Giants, of course, is if they are ahead of schedule, they are, because they're not a small market team, they're a big budget team that has the ability to supplement when things are coming together unexpectedly fast.
Right.
So there's a good chance that the Giants aren't going away. There's also a really good chance that as the NL shakes out, that both wild cards come from the West. So that's going to put the crunch on everybody else in the NL, in the East and the Central. And the East was a division that looked really good on paper going into it. But you've got the Braves at 500, Philadelphia one game above 500, and the Mets are 16 and 13, but they just put Jacob DeGrom on the IL today. Now, his MRI was negative, but anytime you're talking about tightness in one side for DeGrom, you're getting a little bit nervous about, what kind of muscle did he pull? How long is that going to keep him out? Because the Mets, it's all about the rotation, the offense. Even with what they had in the offseason, their offense is still pretty putrid. They've scored fewer runs than anybody else in the NL.
By the way, I think it's fair to say that Nolan Arenado has not been the Nolan Arenado that we had here in Colorado. He's gotten off to a pretty slow start, specifically in terms of power numbers. But boy, did he rake against the Rockies over the weekend.
Was that a surprise?
Nope. 5 for 12, 4 runs scored, couple of doubles, home run, RBI.
Yeah.
No.
And Arenado, it's not like he's an anvil on their lineup right now. I mean, no. He's doing perfect. You know, he's hitting .281. His OPS is .851. He's doing perfectly fine, and he's doing better than he did last year.
Right.
But he's not at the typical level, and that's where it'll be interesting to see over the course of the year is what happened this weekend, the start of something, or is he settling in terms of his numbers at the plate, kind of a level below where he was for most of his Colorado team. Now in the field with his glove, still exquisite, as always.
Just in case you missed it, the Colts have brought in former Chiefs left tackle Eric Fisher on a one-year, $9.4 million deal. Now, Fisher missed half of the 2019 season with a core muscle injury, and he tore his Achilles in the AFC Championship versus the Bills just this past season. Do you expect Eric Fisher to play many games in a Colts uniform?
Not to start. I think he's probably going to be ready to go by maybe October. What do you think?
And that's what they're banking on. They're banking on getting two-thirds of a season out of him.
Right.
You know, certainly you talk about what you're hoping for from the schedule makers. The Colts are probably hoping for an early bye so they get more games out of Eric Fisher. Look, he's been in the Pro Bowl two of the last 3 years. When he's healthy, he's very good. But right. but staying healthy has been a challenge for him. By the way, the 1 year he missed the Pro Bowl, the last three, was the one, 2019, where he only played 8 games.
Right.
That being said, if the best ability is availability, maybe the Broncos might do better with whatever they end up at right tackle with. They're gonna kick the tires on Dennis Kelly, formerly of the Titans. Bobby Massey is on their radar. They're gonna take a look at Charles Leonard Jr., the former Bear. These guys could be at half the cost of Eric Fisher, and maybe the Broncos get more out of them, at least for this year.
That was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, they were recently voted Denver's best roofing company, and their customers have given them over 80 five-star Google reviews. Call them for a free roof inspection today to see how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Yeah, it is hail season. Just waiting for it to continue. It hailed a little bit last week, and hail's going to damage your roof. Masterpiece, they can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. See how they can do it, whether it's roofing, painting, gutters, windows, or siding. Let Masterpiece turn your home into a masterpiece. Go to masterpieceroofing.com. Alex, great job today. Same with you, Danny. Mace, I'm enjoying looking at your Man City jumpsuit.
Thank you. It's very comfortable.
I bet it is.
As track suits, sweats tend to be.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a piece of unsolicited advice, though.
What?
Don't make the majority of your wardrobe tracksuits, because when you start wearing pants with drawstrings a lot, you've basically said, I've given up.
Yeah, it's the George Costanza thing.
It's not
miserable. I might as well be comfortable.
No, it's not a George Costanza thing. It's a life thing. If not you, but I'm saying in general, anybody who wears pants with drawstrings a lot has basically said, I will just learn to live with this.
Well, I think also a lot of people have gone in that direction in the last 14 months of the pandemic.
Now, I have friends that have lost weight.
Lots well, no, it's not about losing weight, but yeah. No matter whether they've gained weight or lost weight, yeah. They're saying, I'm just going to wear sweatpants. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
The trick is finding nice pants that feel like sweatpants. And
but
there
still
are those
have drawstrings
there.
On.
Not necessarily, no. The slacks I wear,
yes,
they're incredibly comfortable.
There you go,
and I can wear them like sweatpants, but they have a belt, so I'm okay there.
There you go. All right, make it the best possible night you can. I'm surprised it got so things aren't the way they were before.